There are a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL draft this year. My name is Ben Solak, and I host the Ringer NFL Draft Show with Danny Kelly, Danny Heifetz, and Greg Horlbeck. We cover trades, free agency, and the draft, which is, obviously. We'll tell you about everything, which includes which quarterbacks are good, which quarterbacks are bad, and which quarterbacks are just Kirk Cousins. That is the Ringer NFL Draft Show. Search the Ringer NFL Draft Show on Spotify.
It's the Ringer's Philly Special, presented by FanDuel. April showers bring a loaded sports calendar, and FanDuel is the place to bet on it all. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub. Filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and get paid instantly when you win. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Philly is a tough city. You know, they're gonna tell you why it is, and you know, I love it. I like Philadelphia because they care.
Welcome to a bonus edition of the Ringer's Philly Special. Shiel Kapati here with ace producer Cliff Augustine. Your Philadelphia 76ers pull out a 105-104 victory over the Miami Heat in the play-in game. They will go to MSG Saturday for game one for a first round series against the New York Knicks. Cliff, I'm going to read you my notes later from what I wrote down at halftime about, like, here's what I need to get off my chest about this Sixers team. They're losing at halftime, losing badly, losing by what? 12 at halftime.
12 and a half, yep.
They come back. They cut it to 5 at the end of the third. Then the fourth quarter, Nico Batum, the Nico Batum game, baby, comes out of nowhere, puts the team on his back. I mean, they do not win this game without Nico Batum having his best game of the season, season high this year for Nico. We got to talk about all of it, but just how are you feeling? Are you like, yes, let's go, bring on the Knicks? Are you like, oh my God, what did I just watch? What is your feeling? Because I told you, we're doing this like we're just jumping on WIP and hosting a post-game show. Literally, the game just ended. No organized thoughts here. How's Cliff feeling after this win?
First of all, it's Cliff Elkins Park. First time, long time. Actually,
no, you're co-hosting, Cliff. You're not a caller. You are co-hosting.
I know, but that's what they don't. Isn't that what they be doing, yo?
Yeah,
Cliff Elkins Park.
Course,
first time,
course.
Long time. But initially, I thought it was going to be doom and gloom. I thought it was a wrap. The first half just looked, especially late in that second quarter, it just looked horrendous. And B didn't look good.
God.
They could not beat that zone whatsoever. They weren't passing out the zone whatsoever. They couldn't hit shots, miss smoking layups. It just looked all dreadful. And then on top of that, Jimmy Butler had like 80 steals in the first half. And on top of that, I was trying to look for the second chance points that the Heat had. Yo, how many offensive rebounds did they like get off of tip-ins? I didn't see the stat at the end of the game here. I was looking for that specific number and I couldn't find it. But I was just like, yo, they're getting every 50-50 ball. They're playing way harder. They look better.
Yes.
Jimmy Butler, like I said, he was getting a million steals. Then somehow he magically gets hurt. Tyrese Maxey's pretty much shut down. Joel Embiid basically shut down that first half. Man, I was like, yo, we are going to lose to Boston in the first round, because I think the Hawks and the Bulls are like very much like, I think whatever's happening right now as we're recording this Hawks Bulls game, they pretty much mailed it in. And whoever wins this game is just like, man, I don't want to do this. Like, I don't have to play the Heat and then, number one, win this game and then have to play the Miami Heat for that next spot. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was a wrap, man. I really did. I thought this was going to be bad for Embiid's legacy. I had friends in the chat talking about, yo, like, you know how these chats always go, like, yo, this is it every year. We always get the same exact story. It's over. I'm sick of
this
guy.
That's how I was feeling, honestly. Yeah. It was like, here we go again. Just add another chapter to this disappointing era where every year ends with some garbanzo beans loss, just like this. And now you can't even beat the Miami freaking Heat. This version of the Miami Heat at home in a play-in game. And here's, honestly, Cliff, where my mind went. I was ready to lead the show asking you the question, do you want them to win the next game and then have to play Boston in the first round? Would you rather just be over on Friday? Like, if they lost this game, I was honestly thinking about that. I was like, you know what? I think I would rather them just lose to the Heat or the Bull or to the Hawks or the Bulls and just have the season end and put us out of our misery, because Sixers Celtics is just going to be a waste of time. So I was going to ask you that question. Luckily, I don't have to ask you that question, because that third quarter, we get a little Brickin' for Chicken spark. I mean, was this the Brickin' for Chicken game?
Yes, yes.
Or is it the Nico Batum game?
All right, I need an official ruling from you. Let's give Nico his flowers, man. What he did tonight was incredible.
Nico Batum
he absolutely saved the Sixers' asses tonight. Whoever, all the players need to give him their game check. Like, that's how good he played tonight. But, we're going to give Nico Batum his flowers tonight, man. He absolutely saved the game. 6-for-10 from three. Big threes, too, by the way. Just like,
yes.
Oh, wide open, big threes. We needed those momentum swingers, like ones that put us up by four. Man, he played incredible. And he had good defense down the stretch, too. Like I said, Jimmy Butler got hurt down the stretch. But, hey, man, Nico Batum played his assignment well, played good defense well, gave the Sixers some incredible
huge
minutes.
Huge block on Tyler Hero.
Huge
on that
block
three.
On Hero.
What was it, a three-point game?
Yep. On that three right there towards the end of regulation. I'm not sure how many seconds was on the clock right there. If you could recall, it might have been like eight. I want to say like 18 or 20, not somewhere like the 20, 30 range of seconds left in the game clock.
Yeah.
But man, Nico Batum saved the season tonight, man. He literally saved the season tonight. Now we get a chance to go up to New York like we was praying for, get the Knicks in a seven. It's going to start off up there. It's not going to be easy at all. But man, thank the heavens that Nico Batum saved the season. We get some extra Sixers meaningful basketball, because had we have had to play that second play-in game and then probably win and then had to play Boston, I'm right there with you. I'd have been like, I ain't feeling.
That would have been such a depressing atmosphere. Like, I've been to depressing atmospheres at Philadelphia sporting events, but having to host that game on Friday, and it's like either you lose and this is a complete disaster, or you win and now you got to go to Boston because you screwed it up. I mean, that just, the atmosphere would have been terrible. Honestly, if I were in the crowd, I would have been ready to rain down some booze if they turned in a bad first half performance. So yes, I'm glad it's like that anxiety eases up a little bit that they don't have to do that. Batum, 6-for-10, 20 points. Cliff, the rest of the team shot, 6-for-25. From three,
just the rest of the team. And a lot of that was in that first half, like I said, when nobody could just find a bucket whatsoever. It looked horrendous out there. I'm looking at the stat sheet right now, just like you said, Lowry 1-for-5, Maxey 1-for-6. You know, he's typically a 40%er. Joel actually had he had that big three too after he got that block. After he got that block in the top of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, you know what? We should give him some credit. Yeah, because I was definitely getting ready to kill. I was like the guys on your the boys on your group chat there, ready to be like, oh my gosh, I can't. How is this happening again with Joel Embiid? I mean, he looked terrible. And by the way, can I go on this little rant? I don't want to hear the word precautionary when a guy sits like that ever again. Honestly, if you're a reporter, if you're a fan, if you're a broadcaster, and a team tells you that a guy sat in a game that could be the difference between the sixth seed and the play-in, and he's sitting for precautionary measures, do not believe that.
Don't
BS.
Believe
that is going to be nonsense. We told you here that we felt like it was BS, because obviously the guy looked completely different physically. He hurt the knee in the game against the Magic, or re-injured it, or whatever whatever, tweaked it. I don't know what the official word will be, but he definitely looked different in this game than he did in those previous games before Orlando. So yeah, I'm looking at that going, all right. And then I'm, you know, having the mental struggle. Well, do you want to kill? Are you going to kill him, Shil? Because he is injured. Like, what's he supposed to do? I don't like killing guys who are playing through an injury. You know, it's like, well, what are they supposed to do? Right. They're giving everything they have. So I'm going back and forth with like the Embiid legacy in my head there. Yeah, he was at one point 3 for 12. I think going into the fourth quarter, yeah, he was 3 for 12 with 12 points, Cliff. But then the fourth quarter, he came up huge. I will absolutely give him credit. 11 points in the fourth quarter. He had the big three where he was wide open. He had the and one.
It was that block. It was the block. It was the block that set it off for me. Because remember, he blocked. I want to say he blocked like Jaime Jaquez or whoever. And he
Jaquez was going at him. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he sprinted down. Let me see here. I'm looking at the sequence right now. I think it was it was Tyler Hero. I'm sorry. It was Tyler Hero who I believe got blocked by Embiid here. And then it looks like and that was the one where Embiid got the one right at the top, right at the top of the key and then hit that three.
Yeah.
I thought that sparked. Yep. That was a big spark for the Sixers as well, too. Right. That set the tone for that fourth quarter. They needed that in that moment, like badly. That tied the game there, Shil. 74-74.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that was that huge. Yeah, you're right. That was at the beginning of the fourth, and then later in the fourth, he hits the other three. He has the and one, and then that pass to Kelly Oubre for the and one. And I mean,
Oubre
they just
got the and one. Oubre, yo, ever have you been noticing his treatment since since the Clippers game? Like
what
by referee
his treatment,
like the his treatment by referee, his treatment by the referee since the Clippers game. Have you been noticing it?
No.
I've been watching these games, man, and Oubre be getting hacked left and right, and those whistles just go silent. I will say tonight is a little bit different because they were letting the players play.
Since his famous, Yeah.
You know what I'm
Google it if you don't know what we're talking about. Yeah,
you catch my drift. But yeah, no, like it's been crazy since that incident, yo. Them whistles get silent for Oubre. He's been getting hacked left and right. It was a good two different occasions tonight where I watched him get hacked, and I'm just like, yo, they just letting anything happen tonight. But I will say this, though. This did feel like actual real playoff basketball. The refs did hold their whistle a little bit. They did allow a little bit of chippiness, some defense, which is what I like compared to earlier in the season when, you know, everything was a – if you breathe on somebody, it was a foul. So I appreciated just the referees kind of holding in their whistle a little bit more tonight.
Yeah, it's still like it certainly was not a well officiated game. Like,
oh no, no,
and it's inconsistent. But yeah, I would prefer prefer that. Embiid played 38 minutes, and obviously, you look at the box score; it's not pretty. 6 for 17, but he was 9 for 10 from the free throw line. Did have 15 rebounds. Finishes with 23, 15. And 5 and 3 turnovers. So it was looking really ugly, I mean, going into the fourth quarter. But then he comes up big there for the Sixers in the fourth quarter. So you get a little Embiid. You get a little Batum. I thought Buddy Hield was like he was ready. I mean, he was aggressive. I'm trying to look at the box score here. I don't think the actual numbers were that impressive. He has 7 points. 6 assists, though, for Buddy Hield. I mean, he usually is not getting many assists. So, yeah, he was aggressive. He was driving. He was kicking, setting up his teammates. So I thought he did a nice job as
and
well.
I think the assists work for Buddy Hield tonight, too, especially because, you know, he's a shooter. So, obviously, when they play that zone, the spacing is just a little bit – is slightly different. So, he can get his passes off because he attracts so much attention to the defense playing – you know, when they play zone. Hell, even when they play man, he still attracts somebody. So, Buddy Hield did a good job. He wasn't jacking. He wasn't gunning. And he wasn't just solely looking for the three-point shot. He was real aggressive, and he was playing good defense, too. So, shout-out to Buddy Hield, man. He played some great defense. You know what I'll say? Like, compared to past times, right? And I hate to, like, bring up the past – but like in the Doc Rivers era, right? This is easily like a 10-15 point loss, right? Like they would have put their head down in that third quarter, and there's no way in hell they would have fought back. Like this team, they looked ugly going into halftime, and this team just
that's
absolutely
what the Heat does to you. Yeah, yeah. You got to be ready to just get in the mud with them.
And this team absolutely scrapped that entire second half and came out victorious. And I feel like a lot of that is coaching, especially in B digging deep like that. Like in the past. Again, I hate to bring up the past, but I have to bring up the past, right? He would have just kept his head down. You know he's hurt. He would have been grimacing the whole time. Wouldn't even have put in that effort. I mean, hell, last year when they played two years ago, when they played the Heat, they pretty much caved in that game 6. on in Philly when, you know, the infamous Jimmy Butler game where he's like, Tobias Harris over me, like that game. And they just looked like they, you know, they caved in. And this year, it just, man, it just felt different, bro. Nobody gave in. Nobody gave in. And I love that, man. And shout out to Kyle Lowry, too. He was playing real hard. I was on this very podcast and I said, man, I don't know much about this Kyle Lowry edition. I don't know if that's going to be, you know, a needle mover much, but I feel like they picked up his mentality, man. I thought he was going to come in here. He's just going to be, you know, another OG, but he really, I feel like he is a spark for the Sixers too, man. So shout out to Kyle Lowry. He definitely did his thing for sure. And he kind of saved our ass in that first half too.
Yeah, he has been better than expected. There's no doubt about it. I think it was him who had the big steal. It was kind of the poke from behind near half court, and then the ball went flying down, and Sixers got it and came back. I mean, that was a huge play. And then how about, I mean, do they need to give us a heart attack with these inbounds passes at the end of the game? What is going on? Kyle Lowry on the ground, gets up, gets the ball back on the ground, somehow finds Kelly Oubre, and he gets fouled there. It's like, why does this need to, does this really need to be this hard? It should not need to be this hard. But yeah, I mean, he always gives you those little plays in a game like this. You know, he's, like you said, it felt like in the first half, I mean, it felt like a preseason game or like a Tuesday in November. It's like, where is the energy on this basketball team? And so that's something you never have to worry about with him. But the rest of them, you're just watching it going like, they understand that this is a play-in game to get into the playoffs, right? That this isn't, what is happening here?
I will say this though, they were missing just a lot of shots just weren't falling. Yes. In the second half, it was night and day. I would love to see the second half field goal percentage compared to the first half, which I'm assuming it'd be way, way better. I don't have that breakdown right in front of me, but man, I mean, the first half, they just literally just were not hitting shots whatsoever, and it looked ugly and pathetic, and it looked like they just couldn't break the zone at all, and the Heat just had their way, and that's when the doom and gloom set in. I mean, I had people talking about, I'm about to turn the game off, I can't stand this, the same old Sixers, blah, 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 woo, woo, and lo and behold, man, they pulled through. Started hitting shots, started playing like a team, started passing the ball like you should through zone, and finding the open guy who ended up being Batum on, I saw him open on at least 2-3 of those threes, that I can just recall in my head of dudes trying to close out on him. I mean, some of them were contested as well, too. He had 6 threes. At least 2 or 3 of those were just wide open, just passing through the zone and making the right play. And those were coming from Embiid, too. Embiid wasn't trying to be selfish, trying to put his head down and play bully ball the whole entire time, and making sure he made the right play instead of the dumb play. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that was the key, him getting rid of the ball. I mean, they couldn't even get him the ball sometimes against the zone.
And that double came fast, too. The double was coming to him, too. So, he did a great job. But it was one play where I was just like, all right, bro, this might be a wrap. It was he got the ball, and he got doubled, I want to say, right around the three-point line, like at the top of the key, right around the three-point line. And I was just like – and he shot it. Tried to shoot it over, Haywood, Highsmith, one of those Miami Heat guys that just magically becomes good.
Yeah, I know. They all blend together. Yeah.
And Bam, I think Bam was the other guy that helped on the double. And some way, he shot the ball over both of them at the worst spot ever. And I'm just like, oh, this is going to be one of them type of games, man. It's over with. So shout out to him, man, for recognizing that, making the right plays when they needed to be made. And I thought the passing in the second half needs to be talked about more, too. The way that the unselfishness that went into that, right? Most offenses are just like, all right, high pick and roll, Maxi make a play, Embiid make a play. Nah, they needed everybody to kind of scrap and make plays. Like when Kelly Oubre's number was called, he made a play. When Buddy Hill came in the game, he made a play. Campaign hit a big three in the corner off a Maxi pass.
Lila Kapadia's man right there coming in. 3 minutes, 1-for-1.
Yep, right at the end of that third quarter.
Doesn't miss
quarter,
a shot.
Right? It was
That's
the third
right.
quarter.
Doesn't turn it over. Yeah, there you go.
Campaign came in. He made a big, big thing. What did this? This made the game 71-69 in favor of Miami Heat right there off that Maxi assist. Man, that was huge right there. So, shout out to Campaign too. He came in. He had a solid couple minutes in the game. I think that was actually his first time coming in the game too, late in the third. So
it was
kind of crazy.
Only played 3 minutes. Yeah, hit a three, and then out. Yeah, there you go.
He came in, hit a three, did his thing, started dancing, and dipped out.
That's right.
Went to the locker room.
All right, let's take a quick break. Yeah, we'll take a quick break, come back, talk about a couple other things, and then this Knicks series. All right, we are back on the Ringers Philly special. I just wanted to finish. You were mentioning the zone and how much it was giving them so many issues in the first half. Now, you are right. Part of that is your shots not going in. If the shots go in, you're saying they're doing a good job of beating the zone. But it wasn't just that. I mean, they were turning the ball over at a ridiculous rate. 7 turnovers in the first quarter, 12 turnovers in the first half. I mean, that they just it wasn't even just the missed shots. They couldn't get shots off. They were just turning it over and over again. Second half, I'm looking at this for the first time now, Cliff, they finished with 16 turnovers. So just 4 turnovers in the entire second half. So again, good job of adjusting. I'll give Nick Nurse some credit there, because here's a take I was about ready to fire off at halftime, Cliff. I was saying, if this were a Doc Rivers coach team that was doing this against the zone, that would have been the number one thing we would come on and talk about. I'm like, this isn't supposed to happen with Nick Nurse. I just went on a whole thing last week talking about how we feel better about this team because Nick Nurse is the coach and he's done a good job this season. And you know, they're going to have an edge with X's and O's a little. And then the first play-in game, the Heat zone, which, you know, they play more zone than any team in the NBA. Sixers come out and looked completely unprepared for it. So that was disappointing, but at least they adjusted. They came back in the second half, and they had what, 39 points right at halftime? Is that right? 39 points at halftime and 66 in the second half. So come on, you got to give them credit for adjusting in the second half, coming up with answers. And to your point, it just helps when Nico Batum is catching fire from the 3-point arc. So
and,
that was awesome.
And look at the steal discrepancy too, right? It was 12-4 in steals in favor of the Heat. How many of those were in the first half? Like, I feel like at least like 10 of those were in the first. And then Jimmy, I think he got an extra 2 or more of those from what I recall in the second half.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So that felt like it happened like 47 times.
Where like literally him getting that. Yeah. He came from behind and got that steal on the fast break. So, man, it's just so many like just different things that just had to go right in that second half. And just like it worked. It just all really worked and it all came together. I don't even know how. Like, we explained it already, but it's just, I'm still in my head trying to, like, wrap my head around, like, yo, like, how? Like,
yeah, like they were very close, you know, to losing. I mean, they really easily could have lost this, especially at halftime. Like, I mean, the 12-point deficit is not easy to overcome at halftime, but they were able to do it.
Shout out to Caleb Martin for getting the good people of Philadelphia some chicken, setting off a run that sparked a great second half and got the Sixers the victory, man. Shout out to him. You know what's crazy, yo? I felt like he was going to miss a shot, too. That's the craziest part. Like, when the first one rimmed out the way it rimmed out, I was like, damn, is he really about to miss this next one right here? And he did, and I was just like, I felt it in my soul. I was just like, all right, this is meant to be. This is absolutely meant to be.
He was way short. Yeah, it wasn't even close. Yeah,
he
doing what Boban did the other night. Yeah, and just when Boban, like, when Boban looked at these guys some chicken.
Exactly, yeah. When Boban looked at his old team's crowd, he's like, yo, y'all want some chicken? And Boban basically was just shaving points.
Yeah, that was amazing. Sixers, by the way, at the line, finished 21 for 23. I think 12 for 12. In the fourth quarter. So that obviously was a huge factor. We need to come up with our own version of Brickin' for Chicken. I mean, as excited as people get for that, and it's not just the play, it could be any game during that is when the crowd is at its loudest. Like, we need some version where if we say something on this, we get a company, they say, hey, we'll give everyone I mean, I think that could get the people listening a little. There's some way to build our audience or get something with like a Brickin' for Chicken type idea. I don't know what it
is.
What?
We can collab with Wawa, right? And we can get them to collab with with one of my favorite things on the menu, the chicken tenders. So if anybody from Wawa is hearing this, give us a sponsorship. We'll do some type of, you know, clicking for chicken or something like that with our
clicking for chicken. There you go. See, this is why you're ace producer, Cliff Augustine. Maxie, I was a little disappointed with tonight, Cliff. I'm not saying, you know, he was part of the comeback, but 6 for 16. I thought there were stretches there where it was just like, hey, like, get the ball in your hands and you got to take control of this game a little bit. And that didn't happen. 6 for 16 from the field, 1 for 6 from 3, did hit all 6 of his free throws, had 3 turnovers, and he had some bad turnovers in the first half. Like, it wasn't just Embiid. You know, Maxie was not playing well. So it was one game. I'm excited to see him at the Garden. I'm excited to see him against Jalen Brunson in this first round series, but I thought he was going to come out and have a bigger game.
I don't know. The Heat just have number one, the zone, right?
They're great defensively. Keep no doubt
bringing
about
up. We got to keep bringing up the zone. Second of all, the Heat put bigger bodies on him. Like, they're not going to give him the Tyler Hero assignment. You know what I'm saying? Like, Tyler Hero isn't covering him. They gave Jimmy Butler was on him. I saw Haywood Highsmith was on him. I saw Caleb Martin was on him for occasions too. Like, Tyrese Maxey is so good that he's going to get, you know, your 1A, 1B defender. Like, that's not. You're not going to let him just get off on Tyler Hero or whoever, Duncan Robinson, whoever you choose to play against him, or Jaime Jaquez. And not for nothing, like, I wanted to temper my expectations going into this too, just because I know the style of play that is, and I know that they love putting a bigger body on him too, and that's going to frustrate Maxey. I mean, we've seen it historically, right? Like, you can go back to last year's series against the Celtics where he had – I think he only had about, you know, one good game against the Celtics last year, but they have the bigger body, Derek White, you know, guys like that trying to defend him and really get in his space. So he kind of struggles with that, especially when they're a good elite defensively. So it was disheartening.
It's one game.
I think, I mean, it's going to be, I think it's going to be better with the Knicks though, but I'll say this, the Knicks are going to put OG Anunoby on him. So that's going to be tough for him as well too. I just think, the Knicks, whereas defensively, like, OG Anunoby is like such a dog on defense that, like, the drop off is just going to be a little bit differently when he's facing a guy like DiVincenzo or facing a guy like Jalen Brunson on occasion, or, you know, maybe like a Deuce McBride when he comes in the game, or whatever other guard variation that they have over there in New York. But, like, for me, the Heat just have so many different able body guys that can stay in front of him, and they're kind of long and lanky that was going to frustrate him no matter what. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I want to make sure everyone knows I'm not overreacting. It was one game. It's a good defensive team in Miami.
No overreacting, but it's going to be tough, though. OG Anunoby will get the Tyrese Maxey assignment. That's going to be hard for him. So
how are you? Yeah.
Yeah.
So how are you feeling about this team going into this? So I'm looking at FanDuel, Cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think's favored in this series?
To win the series. After tonight's game,
tonight's game, right now, this is live odds. You can bet this right now if you want.
After tonight's game, the Knicks. Is it the Knicks?
You saw how Embiid looked, right?
Is it the Knicks?
Physically. And the Philadelphia 76ers are slight favorites.
Really?
To beat the New York Knicks.
Really?
In the first round. The 7th seed against the 2 seed. With Embiid clearly hampered by an injury, the Sixers are -120 to win the series. The Knicks are -108. So it's close.
Okay, so it's kind of like,
that's still crazy. You got to bet 120 to win 100 on the Sixers. Yeah. You got to bet 108 to win 100 for the Knicks. That surprised me after watching this basketball game tonight. Like, I don't feel... I don't know. Like, what do you think with Embiid? Is it that injury? You know, he tweaked something against the Magic, and this is what he's going to look like. Do you think, all right, this was just a weird game where he was coming back after a little layoff, and he has a chance to look a lot better with a few days off now, a couple days off now, I guess I should say, until Saturday against the Knicks? Like, what are your expectations? Because I thought Embiid looked better, like, before that Magic game, the games he had come back. I was like, all right, the conditioning's bad, but he looks pretty good. Like, I was like, all right, you know. This is encouraging, actually. This, I thought, was a different version. So I don't know how to feel about him. How are you feeling about Embiid going into the series?
I'm confident, actually, Shil. I think it's going to be a good...
Really?
Yeah. I'm actually confident. I think because the style of defense is going to be a little bit different, right? Like, he'll probably get doubled and all that, but you may not have to rely on him as much if he's just able to just kick it out a little bit more. And if he can get single coverage versus like a Hartenstein or versus a Mitchell Robinson, I think that's barbecue chicken for them too. So I'm not as concerned. I'm just hoping that he's not physically hurt, because if he's physically hurt, that's more concerning than not being in shape. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. The shape thing, I'm not worried about. Like, that's fine. You sit him. He plays fewer minutes. I'm worried about because I thought tonight, even when he
did, it look like he was
court,
grabbing his knee. Did he look like he was?
He was. He was adjusting the brace. He was doing the knee.
It looked like it was bothering him.
I didn't think he had great lift, like, even on some of those, like, you know, putbacks. But then, you know, he finished very strong. So he's got something in there somewhere that he can.
He's got something in the tank there. No, I think he's going to have a good series, though. I think I'm not going to say like he's going to look like, you know, 35 plus a night and be like, he'll probably get a couple games off with 35 plus just because that's what we expect from him from now on. But do I think it's going to be every single game where he's just going to be like earlier the season where, you know, he's going out, he's going to get that 30 and 12 and, you know, five assists or whatever. I don't think it's going to look that dominant, but as long as he's not like physically hurt, limping, and he's grimacing and the meniscus isn't like bothering him to a crazy degree, I think they'll be fine. Because like I said, if he's just tired, then you can like manage that. You can just dig deep. Like you saw it in the fourth quarter. Like he literally just dug deep and just kind of willed his way through like whatever pain he was going through or whatever fatigue he was going through. So I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be fine. And on top of that, I'm wondering what the Heat's rank and pace, because I felt like they were definitely going up and down a lot and definitely putting him in a lot of different actions. Or what I noticed too is a couple threes that he let up by like a dude. I think Kevin Love had like two threes, and there was another sequence where he was the closest defender near the 3-point line. And he just straight up just did not.
He couldn't get there.
He couldn't get there because you could clearly tell that he was A, either tired, or B, his knee was hurting him. But to me, I think it'll be fine. I really do think it'll be fine. I'm optimistic here, man. I'm truly, truly optimistic here. Again, Knicks not going to make it easy at all. They are. We talked about this at length the other night on the Monday pod, Sunday night / Monday pod. We talked about this at length the other night. Tibbs likes to muck it up. He likes to make these guys get dirty. We know how the Knicks play. We know they're going to play just as hard as the Sixers. Mitch Robb and Hartenstein, they got 12 fouls between both of them. So I'm sure you're going
to
see.
Speaking of which, Cliff, I meant to ask you this. I started, but that made me think about it. When Bam Adebayo got the second foul, did you see my man in the stands had the jersey over the white button down and was raising the roof? Did this fan catch your eye?
No, I missed it.
What do you think of that look? He must have just been coming from work. So he had the white dress shirt on, but then he had the Sixers jersey over it. And he was so happy about the second foul, he was raising the roof. Is that okay?
My thing with people that do that, right? If you have the jersey, if you have the jersey on deck ready to go, why don't you just have a t-shirt that's ready to go underneath that? Like you really can't change out of your dress shirt coming straight from your office or wherever you was at and just put both
those things on. You just wear a white undershirt and then put the jersey on over the white undershirt, right?
Well, I say this though. What if you, the white undershirt, correct. I thought you were talking about like a tank. But like what I'm saying is if you have enough, like how do you not have enough time to just go to like the bathroom at work and just switch it out? Like, are you just leaving the jersey in the car?
Or the car? I agree.
Like, are you put the jersey in a bag or something like that? Let's say your car is parked at a train station somewhere in Doylestown, right? And you're like, yo, I work downtown. I'm going to the Sixers game right after work, and then I'm taking the, you know, whatever R5. I don't know what line goes up there, but whatever line that goes up there, right? Oh, how do you don't have another bag to put a t-shirt and the jersey inside of there? And then just get dressed at work and then go to the game after you punch out. I don't get that. I never understood that. Look,
we have weird jobs. Maybe we're not in tune with, you know, some people are working different hours. Yeah, if we need to get down there, we're just like, I'll get down there, I'll dress at home and get down there in plenty of time. We're recording a podcast at a different time. It's all good. I'm sort of with you, though. I have never been in that situation where it's like, you know, you need to figure it out at the game. Before you leave your place of work. I mean, it doesn't take 5 minutes. Bam. Change. Exactly. You don't have 5 minutes?
Exactly.
Just change real quick.
And just put it in the bag. I'll say this, though. Maybe they wasn't trying to bring the bag to the game or something like that, or maybe they couldn't leave it at a certain place. I don't know. I'm trying to cut somebody some bell here. But
if
at the
he's
same,
working in an office, you leave it in a bag there and get it office. Tomorrow. Because here's the issue with that. I was just thinking, because it can't just be take off the dress shirt and put on the jersey over like a, you know, an undershirt. Because now you got on the slacks and you might have, now you're looking all weird. Now I'm calling you Bo. Who's this Bobo dude coming, getting some crab fries with the jersey on and the dress pants? So you can't be doing that. I'm with you. I would like to know. Listen, if you're a listener and you're saying you guys don't understand the struggle of people who actually have real jobs, then please call us out. We're happy to hear those. But as soon as I saw that, I go out.
315-7982. Again, that is 215-315-7982.
As soon as I saw that, I'm like, all right, I definitely have to ask Cliff about this. All right, schedule Cliff for this series. Saturday, 6 o'clock tip. 6 o'clock tip is good for me. Yep. On Saturday, I think we got a little little softball, a little soccer game, but we'll be back home plenty of time. So 6 o'clock at the Garden, then Monday night, 7:30.
Let's go
at the Garden.
I love
game
it.
Two. And then how about this, Cliff?
Yeah.
Thursday next week. There okay. You had the first round of the NFL draft, a big draft for your Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes.
Simultaneously, you have the Sixers hosting the Knicks at 7:30. You better get your two screens ready. You better have a plan, because 7:30, you need to be ready to sit down for 3 to 4, because it's going to be a while before the Eagles pick, unless they trade. And actually, I don't think the Eagles probably will not pick. The Sixers game will end, I think, before the Eagles pick. Probably.
Yeah, because that first night is always super long.
It takes forever.
Yeah,
it takes
that first night takes. I feel like it takes. Yeah, and I feel like it ends around like midnight typically, right?
11:30 or midnight.
Yeah, 11:30 midnight is
22nd. So yeah.
Yeah, the Eagles probably won't touch.
Will be over.
Yeah, the Eagles probably won't see a pick till around like, what is the 22nd? So I'm thinking if they trade up or back, who knows? But as put at 22nd, that's probably 10:50 into 11.
Yeah.
I want to say 11:10.
Yeah,
10,
definitely.
11,
and Sixers will be over at 10 o'clock. So yeah, that game will be over. And then Sunday following, what a stretch. So Thursday you're gonna have Sixers game three, NFL draft, Friday NFL draft, Saturday NFL draft, Sunday Sixers again game four hosting against the Knicks at 1 o'clock. A 1 p.m. the day after the NFL draft. I didn't even mention all the Phillies games that'll be mixed in there too. So this is a
A lot of pod that we got coming forward here, people. So y'all better stay tapped into the feed. Give us them 5 stars, because we working for y'all, man. We're not doing this for fun. We working for y'all.
Well, we are. We do just like to make each other laugh a little bit and look at how people dress at the gym and at Sixers games. So it is a little bit for us. All right, we are up to 1,200 though on the people have really
4.9.
Good job by the listeners. Usually I have to badger you guys a lot more, but you've actually listened and been like, I can spend 5 seconds and give a 5-star rating on Spotify. So thank you for that. All right, last thing, Cliff.
Yeah.
Sorry, you're about to say something. Go ahead.
I actually got a cool DM from a dude whose grandparents created the Schmitter. They do not exist at the stadium no more because they couldn't staff it correctly because of how much it takes to make one. But he said there's a dope spot up in Mount Airy that you got to come out and check it out. So one of these days when I go up to Elkins Park, I'm going to slide out to Mount Airy and I'm going to pick up a Schmitter from that from the establishment.
How about that?
Yeah, I'm forgetting the name of the establishment. I'm sorry. I'm going to go back and look at it in my DMs. But
we'll give them a shout out on the next
pod.
For sure. Yeah, let's give them a shout out. Thank them for listening.
Before we get off here, you got to give me your Sixers Knicks take preview. How you feeling about this?
I was gonna ask you, that's what I was gonna end with. What's your prediction? I can go first because I'm probably gonna be, I think we're gonna be on opposite sides here. I'm just too concerned with that. Again, this was a fun game. They came back, credit to Embiid in the fourth quarter. He looked different physically to me in this game than he did since he came back. And I think if you don't have him at, I don't even know what the percentage is, but basically if it's this percentage, I'm concerned about the Sixers' ability to win this year. They can. I mean, the odds tell you they're favored or it's very even, but I'm going to go ahead. I think I picked Knicks in 7 on the last pod, and I'm just
going
to go ahead and stick. I'm just going to go ahead. I think it's definitely going at least 6, and I was going to say Knicks in 6, but I didn't want to be mean. If you have tickets to game 6, that's in Philadelphia. That felt unnecessarily cruel by me to say in 6. So I'm going to say Knicks in 7. Game 7 would be Saturday, May 4th. So there you go. That's my pick. What's your pick, Cliff?
I'll say this. Embiid's injury is very concerning. It very much is concerning. The Knicks are a team that played similar to the Heat, where they're very scrappy. And also the Knicks have a dynamite scorer in Jalen Brunson, who is very good. And like I said, should be second team All-NBA. He's scoring 35, 40 plus a night right now. Dante DiVincenzo has been scorching hot from 3. Josh Hart is super scrappy, gets every rebound it feels like, and plays great, phenomenal defense. Mitchell Robin, Isaiah Hartenstein, they hold it down on a little block. They're very, very good. The Knicks are a very solid, formidable team. Philadelphia people, do not look over the New York Knicks. I've been fanning over them all season long because I do like their style of play. However, I'm going to keep it real with you. If Embiid is healthy, again, and I'm not talking about healthy in a way of, oh, is he running up and down the court tired? I'm talking about healthy, whereas he's not grabbing onto his leg, the knee brace, whatever. If he's healthy,
not well conditioned. Yeah, I think it's a good way to put it. Where the conditioning is going to be an issue, it's the health that is the big.
It's the health.
They can win if he's not at maximum conditioning. They can't win if he's not at a certain threshold of health. Yeah,
correct. Because when we had to play small against the Knicks, we've seen it. We played them. We got smoked by them like three different occasions this year when we had to play lineups without Embiid. And I have no faith in him if Embiid isn't anywhere near, like, if he's like 75-80%, I'm fine with that. But if he's, you know, underneath that or he can't go, I don't have any faith in the Sixers. But my final prediction, Sixers and six with fatigued?
With a non-injured.
Non-injured.
Conditioning a factor, injury not injured, but not well conditioned.
Thank you. Yeah, that's exactly how I would say it. So yes, I got Sixers and six, everybody.
All right, there you go. Cliff's got Sixers and six. I'm gonna go ahead and be negative and say Knicks in seven. But we've got playoff basketball to watch, so that will be fun. All right. If you didn't listen earlier, this is our second episode of the day. Me and Solak talked about Eagles, Belichick, day two, draft targets. Again,
that's the next Eagles head coach, Bill Belichick, man.
That's right. We got a lot going on. So check that out on the feed. This was fun. I think, Cliff, I'm going to go ahead and do another Sunday night weekend recap where we can just probably talk about that first Sixers game there. We'll do that on Sunday night and we'll look ahead to the week. Then Monday, Solak and I will do our 7-round mock drafts. Then Thursday, we'll recap the Eagles pick. We'll talk about what happened with this. I mean, just a lot's going to be going on. All right. So appreciate everyone for listening.
And Chris and Raheem is going to be in the fold too. So look out for them as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
We'll get them in here now that we have a playoff series. All right. Thanks to everyone for listening. We'll talk to you soon on the Ringers Philly special. Must be 21 plus, 18 plus in DC, and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, DC, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, and Vermont. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.